Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Muslim Sister Circle Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Musa, and I have with me my guest host, Suzella.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And today we're going to be talking about hair care. We're going to speak to Sister Natasha Somali, who has her own hair care line, plus she's a beautician, hairstylist in Philadelphia, and she has her own salon. Last week, we just want to recap a little bit about last week, and she just, we were talking about, I know, Huzella, you weren't with us, but we were talking about being born Muslim, and the sister, one of the sisters was saying that she was from Yemen, born and raised in Yemen, and she wasn't able to practice like the elders did. She wasn't able to pray and cover, and these are some of the things she wanted to do, but she wasn't able to do it until she went into school. And then she started to learn more about Islam, and she started wearing hijab. But when she came to America, she started covering even more, learning even more, and practicing even more. And another sister was on, she was talking about being born Muslim, and her parents were a little more strict growing up, and she felt like when she had her children, she didn't want to be so strict, so she was a little bit more lenient with her first two children. But when she had her second set of kids, she realized she started to be a little more strict because she felt like it was better for them. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I can definitely agree with that because what I've experienced with my own children, because I reverted to Islam about like 20, 21 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was easier with my first daughter because she was still young. Mm-hmm. So it was easy to just put the hijab and she found it pretty. It was something different and excited for her. But once she got into high school, it was hard. And versus the other children that I've had where they came into it because they mm-hmm. didn't know anything other than hijab. So I started the children pretty young. So it was not like, but it was still a challenge. But I can only understand that when you are in again, every country is different. Some are more stricter. Mm-hmm. Some are more lenient. Some are very big on culture. And they don't feel like their children needs to cover until they are in puberty, especially the girls. So, mm-hmm. and then when you're okay. trying to get them to that stage, it becomes more difficult. So, because now it's like, now they don't want to, they are growing up and this is where they want to be pretty, especially the girls. They want to look pretty and they want to show off their beauty. And now it's like, no, you are old enough, you are older, you have to cover. And it becomes a challenge. So, you know, I can definitely understand the both sides, like, okay, oh my goodness, like I better come on and do better because I'm mm-hmm. about to lose my children. But you know, again, you know, our parenting skill grow with knowledge. So the more we learn how to be better, the better we become. So in another mm-hmm. word, it's always better to seek advice from older parents, you know, and this is why it's so important to have like a community, because then we are interacting with one another, then we inquire like, hey, how did you, what worked for you and what worked for you? It's like parenting, because if mm-hmm. you try to do it by yourself, chances are you might do well, but I think with others, you can do better. So,
right.
You know,
That's so true. She also mentioned about not being able to have classes here in America. Like, there are not a lot of classes for sisters to learn their deen, because she mentioned them being in a not-so-good marriage when she was younger, and how she had to, like, learn her rights and things like that on her own. And I just wanted to mention that there are some classes that I know of by Abu Muhammad Abdullah, and his classes are on Fridays, and I can give you the link. So his classes are on Friday. The link is Mixlr, mixlr.com/Islam-lecture/. So mixlr.com/Islam-lecture/. And he also does Arabic classes on Sundays.
And I do want to say something, if that's okay, Sister Nisa, regarding deening. It is extremely difficult. No one can deen alone. I don't care if you are extremely knowledgeable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us by ourselves. So he didn't create us all together as a mistake, or, you know, if you feel like it. No, he did it for a reason. And one of the reasons is he wants us to stay together, united. And we cannot deen alone. And if you want to raise children or even yourself, you need a community. If you move somewhere and you're trying to stay away from the people, which is not even permissible, then you're going to lose your deen. You're going to lose yourself. And you definitely might lose your children to the dunya. I'm just saying this from experience. And it's really not worth it. And sometimes, yeah, you don't want to be mixing. You don't want to be, in, you know, dealing with certain people. We are human. We all going to have our shortcomings. But if you have a masjid, or if you have a community where you can go and seek knowledge, it is so important to find it. We have a lot of classes, like you said, nowadays online and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you just, if you make even an inch of effort with just your intention and ask Allah, I can definitely say He will respond. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that all we need to do is make an effort. But you got to want it. You know, you got to want to do better for you, for your kids. You know, community is extremely important. So,
That's true. Community is definitely important. And sisterhood is even more important.
Yes.
You know? It's so
absolutely
important. I also wanted to mention that there's an event coming up. It's coming up in February. It's called Black Owned Business Pop-Up Event. It's every Saturday and Sunday by Miss Bo, 224-14B Linden Boulevard, Cambria Heights, New York, 11411. And her number, if you're interested in vending, is 347-954-8094. Again, 347-954-8094. And if you're interested in calling in, we're going to have Natasha Somali come on in a few minutes regarding hair care, how to better care for our hair under the hijab. The number is 516-387-1905. Okay, we have a caller. Let's see. My producer, Hasana, will be joining us. Let's see. This is Hasana. Assalamu alaikum. You're on the air with Muslim Sister Circle. Hello?
I'm sorry, I was just calling to listen.
Oh, to listen. Inshallah, can you log on to the link? The link is, I can give you a
sorry,
a
I
link.
Have
to write it down. Hello?
She says she has it. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, good. Okay. Because if you call in to listen, it blocks up the call line and we're not able to have other people call. It only takes about a certain amount of people in the call log before it will just start dropping everyone. Hold on, let me answer this one.
Yes, assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, Hasana.
Yes, it's me. It's your friendly neighborhood producer. How is everybody doing this evening?
Alhamdulillah.
So I just wanted to chime in on what Hudala was saying. First of all, Hudala, welcome to the show. You're doing amazing already. It's only 5 minutes in and you're doing fabulously as our guest co-host for the evening. And
yes,
so,
yes.
Nisa, you're just a pro. And so just like you were saying, you know, about the village and the community, you know, this is why I appreciate this show so much. I think I've been at least 10 minutes raving each week because, you know, this is all part of the sisterhood, that support. Just knowing that you're not alone. Many times we do as sisters, you know, when we're not in the company of all the Muslim friends that we once got to see all the time. But, you know, just knowing that we have an outlet like this to just know that we're not alone and to get advice and to, you know, gather together. Alhamdulillah, this is just such a blessing and it's just such a mercy and it is what we all need. So I encourage all of you that are listening, tell a friend and be sure to call in and don't be shy to ask questions because just over these few weeks I've just learned that, you know, so many things that we think are unique to us, we're all going through. So I just so appreciate, Nisa, that you have this platform for the sisters.
Alhamdulillah.
So while we are waiting for the sister to call in, I wanted to briefly ask you guys, which is a conversation for later, but I just wanted to briefly ask you. So this is restaurant week. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but what's your favorite restaurant?
Of course I did. I'm a foodie.
Yeah, I'm a foodie too. What's your favorite restaurant,
Hasna? What is it my favorite restaurant? I think that's the question. I've just been exploring a lot of vegan restaurants lately. So back in December, I went to a place called Vegan Soul. So any sort of vegan soul food, that's just become one of my favorites, and that's what I'm trying to, you know, lean more towards. So anything like that, anything that's, yeah, like plant-based and soul food, and, yeah, that's just such a it's just, the food is just outstanding. And, yeah, restaurant week, like you said, it's just changed so much because I believe it's all takeout, no?
Some. I've gone to a few. I'm not sure in the recent times because I haven't gone since they have put back in that new order for restaurants to not have any people inside. But there's this great one that I love because I love Thai food. So there's this great one downtown Brooklyn that I go to. I can't recall the name of it right now, but I know it's on Montague, I think. Downtown Brooklyn by the courts. The food is so good. Oh, I love it because I'm a pescatarian and I know you're a vegan, right? So.
Sometimes. Okay, a couple times a week. She has
okay,
thought about
it. That little pause. Okay. Sometimes. Okay. So, yeah, so that's one of the places I love. I also love this African restaurant, which I don't know, even know if it's still open. If anybody knows if Jollof is still open, please let me know. Please call and let me know, 516-387-1905. If Jollof is still open, please let me know because I drove by there the other day and the chairs were up and everything was closed. So I'm like, what's happening? I love that restaurant. I mean, the jollof rice is everything. I love African food. And there's another one that I know of, Blue Now, I believe it's called Blue Now. Have you ever eaten theirs on Nostrand and Atlantic?
No, I haven't, but it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's black owned. All these restaurants are black owned, except for the Thai restaurant, of course. But Yeah, Black Now. It's called Black Now. Black Now is on Nostrin and Atlantic. I haven't been there in a while, but their food is really good. Really, really good. Especially that salmon. So, Hudella, you in PA, what's good out there?
Bella on the go.
Bella on the go. That's right. That's right. I know that's right. You got your own business. I know that's right.
Yes, it is. Yes, uh-huh. And I'm glad you mentioned African, because when I lived in New York, when I was pregnant, I would always go to 116, and there's this African
yes.
restaurant over there, and I would eat everything, and it was amazing. And then at the end, I would get sick, and I would still go back the next day. I just loved it, and I couldn't get enough. And I would tell my husband, can you get me two food at a time? And he's like, why would you buy so many and get rid of it? You're just going to get sick. It's just something that I crave, and no matter how much I ate it, it just tastes amazing. So that, and then, of course, you know, my daughter married an African, so I got really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, free
mm-hmm.
food. Moving forward.
Right.
I try to create my own dishes. I try not to eat out too much because it's kind of hard in Pennsylvania. I
mm-hmm.
work in a water park, so they have two restaurants that I really like, which is called Double Cut and Sortino. So that one is a steakhouse, one is an Italian place. And at Kalahari, I'm not trying to promote it, but that's the only two restaurants that I actually have eaten from. But other than
mm-hmm.
that, I just try to prepare my own food. And if I wanted to treat myself, I'll probably go to Red Lobster because I just love Red Lobster.
Yeah.
That's just like something
that
I never get sick of. But I just
mm-hmm.
really try to create my own dishes because I just think it's healthier because I know what I'm putting
mm-hmm.
inside.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And
and you create some amazing dishes anyway, so
you can
better
come over
anytime.
Thank
so.
You. And I'm learning, you know, since we're going to have this talk on hair, and I'm learning to eat things that might actually help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. So now we have the sister, Natasha Somali, on hold. We're going to introduce her again. Please, if you're interested in calling, just hold your calls for a little while. Let her get through what she needs to say. And if you have any questions on what she's saying, you can call into 516-387-1905.
Assalamualaikum. Waalaikumsalam. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes. You were a little low, but I can hear you now. We're just going to take
okay.
a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come right back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, Sister Natasha.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Good, alhamdulillah. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Oh boy, I do a lot.
I know.
Okay.
People are so excited to hear about the hair care stuff and what you do.
I'm a hair care specialist,
mm-hmm.
and I have been a licensed hairstylist for now 30 years. February 14th will mark 30 years. I
wow.
started doing hair at a young lady, and I went to school, and I was a licensed hairstylist before I graduated from high school. And this has been the main part of my career. I've never been interested in doing anything else until
mm-hmm.
the last 2 years when I became a hair coach. I mean, not a hair coach, a health coach. So now
mm-hmm.
it's hair care specialist and health coach, which I deal with wellness and nutrition.
Okay, wellness and nutrition. Okay, so I know you said you went to school. So what made you want to be in the hair business, to start your own business?
Well, I'm an only child, so I had a lot of dolls. They were
okay.
my friends. they were my friends and my play sisters and my cousins and everything else. So pretty much when I went to grandma's house, I played with dolls. I played with dolls in the bathtub. I just played with dolls. And back then, they had tall dolls, like they called them walking dolls. So that's all I pretty much had to do. So then growing up as a teenager, I always wanted to do everybody's hair. So I would sit on the steps and I would, you know, do the braids and do the beads and everything else. So when I heard that in Philadelphia they had a high school where you can go to vocational school and you can, the school doesn't give you your license, but you start in the 10th grade. And by the time you're in the 12th grade, you will have the state allotted hours. So most women now, when they go to school, they get these hours within like 9 to 10 months. I actually did it through my high school years. So when you have, some people have first through, most people have first through eighth period. My 6th, 7th, and 8th period, or 4th, 5th, and 6th period, I can't quite remember. Three of those periods I had cosmetology, and then I had my other classes in high school throughout the day. So for 3 years, for 3.5 hours a day, I did cosmetology. So that's how everything started. I just knew that I wanted to do hair.
Okay. Okay, very good. I mean, it sounds like something I wanted to do when I was little, but I never pursued it. But I'm so happy you did, because we need Muslims in this field, you know? Okay.
Yes.
I have a question about you being Muslim. So how long have you been Muslim?
I'm going to say 15 years now, maybe 15 years, 15 years now. I grew up as a Baptist Christian, and one day I picked up a pamphlet when I was selling, actually I was selling my house, and I picked up a pamphlet that was kind of like behind the radiator, you know, like something caught. I was cleaning the house, and I found this pamphlet that I had bought years prior. And I opened it up, and it had all of the religions, and it showed what the Christians believe, what the Jews believe, what the Jehovah's Witness believe, and what the Muslims believe. And when I got to Christianity, it said three gods. And then I looked at Islam, and I was like, this is not right. I don't believe that.
Right.
I went on the search. I did have a few friends that were Muslim. I did have some family members that was Muslim. And then I went to question more about it. And I was like, oh, no, I don't believe that. So it was more so of the Trinity that made it simple, you know, and then everything else. I already, you know, growing up in a bad Christian home, I already dressed modest, you know, and things like that. So it was just the covering wasn't hard for me. You know, people always question the niqab. I'm not married, so I still wear it. I was wearing it. You know, I had been married, but I was wearing my niqab before I was married. So I like to tell people that that does not symbolize, you know, you being married. I just started wearing the niqab, and I loved it. And look at how it's a protection now. So, you know, I've always worn a niqab. No one told me to wear it. I just, you know, in Philadelphia, there's a lot of Muslims. And when you're learning, especially as a new Shahada, you're really in tune. You're so in tune with everything. And, you know, we're learning about the distancing from the men. But in Philadelphia, the men are like, sometimes like always in your face, like, I'm sister. And so I just went in the store and I said, is this why they wear this? And I put it on. And guess what? I got a different. Assalamu alaikum, sister, have a good day. Assalamu alaikum, sister. They didn't like jump out at me. So, you know, I've worn it since then, and I've been very comfortable in it. So, you know, like when I like to say on social media, when people see me, it's like, no, I'm not oppressed by any means. So that's how that conversion happened. And as far as working in the salon, being that I was a Christian, I went to one of the largest churches in our city of Philadelphia. The name of the church is called Enon Baptist Church. It's a very large Baptist church. and I had went there for some years. So I, you know, I like to say I'm a very good hairdresser. So I did everyone's hair there. you know, I like to call myself like a family stylist. So if I'm doing grandma's hair, I'm doing auntie's hair, I'm doing the niece's hair, I'm doing the entire family's hair. Everybody comes to me. But when they came into the salon, they see me with my, I was wearing, of course, I didn't go straight into overgrown. I think I was wearing just a Kmart in the salon. And they told me, one lady said, take that crap off your head. I'm not doing my hair with that crap on your head. And I still speak to her to this day. She's my elder. However, she had three sisters and two nieces. And we all went to the same church. So you know what happened. When she stopped coming, they stopped coming. The niece stopped coming. Then, you know, it's like, oh, you don't go to Natasha anymore? You don't go to Natasha anymore? They just stopped coming. So I just was like, oh, okay. So when I went to the masjid and I was learning how to offer salat and I seen the sister's Kmar fly up, I said, is that her hair tangled like that? And, you know, I'm still learning. So I'm learning about wudu. I'm learning about ghusl. And I said, oh, these sisters' hair don't get done too often.
You know? So true.
I should open up my salon and have a discount because, oh, we have to wet our hair. Oh, if I go to the bathroom, I'm not going to wet my hair. I wasn't married at first, you know, so I didn't understand. But then I was like, they need this to be reasonable. So I started doing the sisters' hair on Sundays after class in my salon for
$20. Wow, mashallah.
For $20.
What year did you open up your business?
No. Let's go back. I've had my salon since I was 23 years old.
Okay.
So in 2000, so I had my business since 1996. So in 2006, that's when I took my shahada. 2006.
Okay.
That's when I started opening up on Sundays for the sisters. And as I know a lot about marketing, so at $20, it got your mom, your auntie, your sister, your cousin, your daughter, your kids. And then I started meeting other sisters that were hairdressers. They would come in and they would help me out. But I like to do hair and I like, you know, meeting new people. So even though some of the sisters had very, very long hair, it wasn't a problem. I was just happy, you know, and that became, you know, my new clientele. And that's just how it started with rebuilding my clientele.
Wow. Mashallah. Good story. And I'm sure the sisters were so grateful for you because it's very hard to find a salon that you can go to where there's not men walking in and out.
Right.
Or,
exactly.
You know, it's not crowded.
Yeah.
You know, it's just people.
Well, it was
a whole bunch of people there.
Then.
No, I mean, like crowded with like
right.
just like a whole
just
bunch
said,
of people.
Now it's not.
If you don't
crowded,
like, you don't know. You know, at least you're around sisters.
Right.
You know.
In the day, they would just we would go after class, and then it was just too much that I started opening up after Fajr, and so the sister was like, Somalia, you need to come back to class. One Sunday, this is a joke. I mean, this is something funny that happened. One Sunday, I was late for class. And by this time, I'm married. So I had my children and my husband's children, and I'm late for class. And while I was sitting down, the sister said for class, she says, as soon as Sister Somalia gets herself together, she's going to answer the question that I just asked. Well, you know, I didn't know the answer because I had been opening the salon at 6 a.m. So what I started to do was I started to alternate so I could still be able to make class. And inshallah, it was very, very beautiful.
Mashallah.
It was very beautiful.
Mashallah. Mentioned about, you know, the sister's hair not being so done under their hijab. What should we be using under our hijab? Because my problem is the oil that seeps through onto my hijab throughout the day. I can't stand it. So I tend not to oil my hair as much, leaving it dry and, you know, coarse. So what's
your opinion? Okay, so the biggest misconception is that oil is a moisturizer. Oil is not a moisturizer. Moisturizers have a little bit of water in them. So I don't recommend a lot of oil. I'm quite sure you've noticed that I have a line, and I named it for covered hair. And because the shampoo and the conditioner, I mix two oils together, marula oil and argan oil together to what I call covered infusion, because these two are very, very rich. You know, it's not like an olive oil, something that's going to just coat the hair and not really penetrate it. So the For Covered Hair line was made just for that. And it comes with the shampoo, the conditioner, and it comes with a product called Clear, which is like a serum. So it's very, very soft and soapy, but it's not greasy. So it's not going to mess up your hijab. So that is a big misconception that, you know, everyone puts all of this oil on their hair. And we want to always make sure that if we are going to put some oil on, we're going to put it on our hair and not our scalp, because our scalp makes its own oils anyway. It's a lot of mist and everything, you know, from growing up. Yes, we did used to sit down and auntie or grandma, they would part our hair and put that mist in our hair. No. That's the wrong thing to do. A clean scalp is a healthy scalp. So we want to make sure that we are shampooing and conditioning our hair at least once a week. And if you don't shampoo, you can at least use a cleansing conditioner, which I have, which is called chamomile, and it's a co-wash. And if I'm a curly girl, so I just wear my hair curly, I really don't blow my hair out too often, so I do a co-wash, and I can do that daily, and it's not going to strip my hair. So everyone's hair is different. Everyone's hair can't take the same product, so that's why I have such a large array of products for different textures of hair. And it doesn't matter who you are as far as your DNA, it's your hair. So, you know, you can be an Asian and have curly hair. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't like people to get confused over your DNA. It's what is your hair, the type of textures, because sometimes you can have more than one.
So your products, you're saying, works for all different types of textures.
Exactly, for all different types of textures. And, you know, the social media has put out so much, have women going bonkers over this 3A, 3B. There's no such thing. It's a made-up chart. Your hair is either curly, wavy, or straight, fine, medium, or coarse. That's it. The 3A, 3B, 3A.
I have a question from a listener. So she asked, do you specialize in a particular, does she specialize in a particular hair care practice?
Specialize in healthy hair care practices, meaning if you come to me and you say you want this and I don't feel that your hair is ready for it or can achieve it, I just say no. I don't do everything on everyone. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So I specialize in healthy hair. You know, some clients want their hair to grow longer. Some clients want their hair to be stronger. So I'm not, if you look at my page, you'll notice that it's not a lot of styling going on, even though I do know, you know, how to do the styles. But it's more so teaching women how to take care of their hair at home and allow it to be healthy and strong. We have damaged our hair a lot over the years by doing so much to it. So if you want to say anything, I specialize in just healthy hair.
Healthy hair. Okay. And she has a few more questions. So do you specialize in natural hair or a processed hair, or you do both and you do everything? And also,
do you do locks? Yes, I do locks. And I do relaxers. And like I said, it's healthy hair. The media has made it seem like, oh, your hair is relaxed. It's horrible. Okay, I know some women who still get relaxers and hair comes all the way. You know what I mean? It's your choice if that's what you want to do. If a professional is doing it, I did not agree with that movie, Good Hair, that came out some years ago.
That.
Because no one leaves a relaxer on someone's head long enough to burn a can. It's like so, it's so much misinformation. And sometimes people come into the salon and they look at me with big eyes like, she's doing a relaxer. And so I'm not a natural hair bully. I don't believe that, you know, I've seen more, and I say this a lot, 8 years now, I've seen more burnt natural hair than I have seen natural relaxed hair. And like I said, it's to the person and what it is that you can do. Some women can't deal with their hair in that curly state. It may be too much for them. I have cut young Muslimas, and I'm talking 15 years old, came into the shop with her omi crying. I hate my hair. Why? Because she has to, this is pre-COVID, she has to go to school. Her hair comes all the way down her back. She has to make wudu. She's mincing, so she's making ghusl, and she has all this big hair under her kimar. So what happens? She gets teased because her hair is just so big. So you know what she wanted to do? She wanted to cut it all off. She says, Mom, I just want to cut it all off. And so guess what? I cut it down, pulled those clippers out, and cut her hair. Alhamdulillah, now her hair is growing back. She's learning more because now she's going on, she's probably 17, going on 17 now. So she's learning how to manage it. But at that age, she just wanted it gone, and it started to affect her grades and everything else. But on the contrary, I had a young Muslima. She was 10, and it was time for Eid, and it was time for her daughter to get her hair done. And she wanted, Mom wanted it straight. Baby girl said, I want to wear my curls. I'm looking at Mom like, I don't like that. Mom is saying she doesn't like the curls. And I'm looking at Mom like, do not do this to her. If baby girl at 10 years old wants to wear her hair curl and twist it, Mom, please let her. So, you know, we have to watch our words with our girls and really listen to them and how they feel about themselves, because you can be giving them a complex at that young age by saying, oh, it's too much to do this hair. I don't do that to my clients that have a lot of hair. You know, when they come into the salon, I don't say, oh, you didn't detangle it. Oh, my God, it's going to take me forever. No, you can hurt people's feelings. People feel bad about having a lot of hair or tight hair. They feel like, oh, it's a mess. And I'm like, no, it's beautiful. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be careful with our words, with our friends, you know. If she wants to get a relaxer and say, hey, girl, that's what you want to do, don't discourage her, because on the inside, when they sit in that chair with me, and which is why I'm also glad that my salon is private, it's a lot of tears that come out. And, you know, they say, my companions, they're all natural. I don't want to be natural. They cry. I'm glad you had this.
Natasha, hold that thought. We're going to go on commercial break. We'll be right back, okay?
Okay. All right.
If you love them enough to barely sleep, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. We're back on the air. This is the Muslim Sister Circle Talk Radio Show. We're on with Sister Natasha Somali from Philadelphia, who is a hair care specialist, health coach, you said, and also has her own salon in Philadelphia. We had another question. Someone wanted to know, if they're not on social media, how do they purchase your products?
If you're not on social media, you can text me, 215-264-1100. Anytime, I am reachable.
Say the number again,
215-264-1100. This is my real cell phone number. And I can send you the link, or you can go to www.natashasomalia, N-A-T-A.
Okay, good. Okay. Now, how often should we, you already said that. You said we should be moisturizing our hair at least once a week, right?
No. You can shampoo once a week, or you can co-wash every other day.
but you can moisturize your hair as often as you can. However, I have a moisturizer by the name of Cream. I think it's the best moisturizer ever. It took me a very long time to come up with that mixture that would work for everyone's hair. And it's not greasy. So just make sure if you are choosing a moisturizer, make sure it does have water in it. And do know that oil is not to moisturize your hair.
Okay. Another sister from on Facebook asked me if you specialize in, she said she's having hair loss. And she wanted to know about that.
Okay, so with hair loss, it comes a whole great deal of everything. One, if you have recently had a baby, you're going to experience some hair loss just because of natural hormones. You just delivered a whole baby. The baby takes everything. And what I like to tell women is that after you have the baby, don't try to diet. If anything, you want to eat more because you are still eating for that baby and you're eating for yourself. So when I really break it down to women and I say, did you ever look at your beautiful baby and they were 6 pounds and then they were 10 pounds and then they were 15 pounds? Well, guess what? They got all of that from you. So they're constantly pulling, pulling, pulling. When we eat our food, the last thing to get our nutrients is our hair. So when you're nursing that baby is pulling everything out, and then your hair comes out. So it doesn't happen to everyone, but I tell people don't panic, but that's one of the reasons of hair loss. Medications, high blood pressure medication, cholesterol medication. If you've had surgery and had anesthesia, that medication, that will pull your hair out. The number one reason that I see is stress. Stress will kill your hair. Stress. Also, I have a vitamin D3. We don't get a lot of sun. Pre-COVID, I was telling everybody, I have D3. I have D3. We don't get enough sunlight. If you ever notice that your hair comes out in a whole patch, like a whole ball patch, you probably have a vitamin D deficiency. So I do have D3 gummies for that. Also, if you have low iron, see everything, and this is why it's so wonderful that I'm into nutrition now as a health coach, because it goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. It goes hand in hand. So it's like what you put in your body, it does affect your hair.
That's true.
And yes, there's a lot of different things, but we have to get to the core of why is it coming out. A lot of products that they do sell on the market, and it's so many wonderful women. I love all the wonderful women that make hair care products, but the hair care industry is a multi-billion dollars. And if you notice, I don't want to say anyone's name, but I'm just going to say Jane 23 has rice water, and this one has this, and this one has that. These are millionaires that have tapped into our market. They know about their hair. And a lot of their hair comes from their DNA. I'm not saying don't purchase for them, but they don't understand everyone's hair. Their hair, and they have paid someone, like I said, it's a multi-million dollar. You understand what I'm saying? They're not able to answer your hair questions or really give you, and this is why the search is on, and you got this from this company and this from this company, and you're trying to do this from that. And you're like, this is not working. This is not what they advertise. My hair isn't this. My hair isn't that. You understand what I'm saying? So feel free to always text me, or you can DM me on social media, and I will gladly go through all of it and answer your questions, because the goal is for us to have healthier hair.
Yes, that's true. We all definitely want that.
Sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I just had like two main questions that are very important. I have four daughters, and so I had a lot of hair. to do throughout my day. So I had to learn different things. And like you said, there's a lot of products that that just doesn't make sense because it doesn't work and you just get tired and you try something else. So alhamdulillah, at least you have given us enough information to try to, you know, do better research. And I'm glad you have something available for everyone. One of the questions that I had was, do you have any products for alopecia, or do you make any of these products? And the second question was about colors. You know, when you have teenagers and they want to look good, and like you said, you don't want to take away their self-confidence, and they trying so hard to look, to find themselves. So they start to do things that may not be healthy. So, you know, if I wanted to try to help them and they want to do hair coloring, what would you suggest?
Okay, so right now what it is that I suggest, I'm not sure if you've seen my granddaughters. My granddaughters are 4 and 5 years old, and yes, they 4, 5, and 10, and they do have color. But, of course, I'm a hairstylist, and so are their mothers. But they do have what you call some temporary hair color, which is like a little, it's like a little paste. And it's a temporary, you know, just color their hair and it can wash out. I don't know the name of it, but if you put up like temporary color, that would be fine. If, you know what I mean, just for temporary. They also have a spray and a can that you could just spray. They also have color chalk, which you just wet the chalk a little bit. So that's something that is good to not, you know, if you can't get them to the salon to get color. But I've colored little girls' hair when they started wearing a hijab and shadeless. At 10 years old, Dad said they can get a little streak of pink or a little streak of purple. That's not too bad. And you can also, if their hair is light, you know, the lighter the hair, like a lighter brown, you know, henna will change the color of their hair as well. But if their hair is just darker, you're not going to see too much of the henna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the next question was about alopecia, because I know some people might want to know, like, what can they use instead of going to a dermatologist?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I do have an alopecia kit. However, I don't want people to just go out and purchase that kit. I want to make sure that I know really what's going on, you know, with them. But I do have an alopecia kit, and it's in a medicine form. So, you know, a lot of times you see all of these, like I said, people on social media, I got these drops. It's really internally, unless it is really, really serious alopecia at the top of your hair, usually where it starts, and it starts balding. Other than that, it is absolutely what you put into your body. So I do have a hair tea, and that helps with alopecia. I have the hair vitamins, and that helps. And I just added a superfood hair vitamin because everybody can't take everything. Everybody can't take a gummy. Everybody doesn't like tea. So I said, okay, I have a hair juice. You can drink the juice. It does help your hair. But all of these things are also listed in my book, Hair Care Under Hijab, which is a guide, and it lays everything that I spoke about just now in that book.
Is that on your website too, or can they purchase it anywhere else?
It is on my website, and you can also get it on Amazon. I like to tell everyone that is overseas, if they have Amazon where they are, to order it through Amazon. You'll get it much quicker. Don't order it from my website. So if they are overseas, order it directly off of Amazon. And it's called Hair Care Under Hijab.
MashaAllah. If it's okay, I have one last question. I apologize. Mm-hmm.
No,
you mentioned, I'm quite sure other people have a lot of questions, but I hope that perhaps this question might be able to answer their question. So maybe you can, do you have any advice as far as what type of food would suggest? Because some people have struggled with different type of food, and, you know, perhaps that you may give them some advice that might motivate them. And, you know, because you know that it will work. And hearing it from someone as yourself, they might be more motivated and push themselves to be consistent with it.
Okay, so it's all the type of foods that we really should be eating anyway. Veggies, green leafy veggies, cucumbers. If we notice that cucumbers are good in the summer because it's just what? It's hydrating. So we want to eat a lot of cucumbers so, because that helps with the dry hair. Also, we want to stay away from so many sweets because guess what? Sugar causes dandruff. Sugar causes dandruff. So we want to, you know, keep our sugar intake low. We want to try maybe some coconut palm sugar so it's like not as sweet. But we want to make sure asparagus, that helps to keep our hair shiny because asparagus has a natural silicone. So it may be things that we don't want to eat, but it helps us overall just for our body and for our hair as well. And, of course, the number one thing is drink plenty of water. And if I can add something to this, everyone may say, okay, my hair is at my shoulders. I want it to the middle of my back. It may not be in your DNA to get to the middle of your back. So this is why I always promote, we want to have, everyone may not be able to have long hair. We want to make sure that our hair is healthy. So if you've been growing it out, not getting a trim just to see what it's going to do, and it doesn't, don't get discouraged. Just take what you have, say alhamdulillah for what I have, and that you have some, and deal with that because it just may not be in your DNA to have really, really long hair.
Right, right. Okay, we're going to go on another commercial break. We'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
You're listening to the Muslim Sisters Circle Talk Show Radio with our guest, Natasha Somali.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Assalamu alaikum. You're on the air with the Muslim Sister Circle radio talk show with our guest, Natasha Somali. Natasha, I just wanted to go over your information for the listeners. So you mentioned your website, www.natashasomalishop.com, NatashaSomaliShop.com, right?
Yes, and also for everyone listening, you can receive a discount just by using the word hair care, all caps.
Hair care, all caps. Okay, thank you.
And
also you have a book called Hair Care Under Hijab. You can find that on Amazon,
yes,
and also on your website, but you said it's faster for people overseas. If they want to get it on Amazon, they'll get it much faster.
Yes.
Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. And I just wanted to go over the products you mentioned. You mentioned a few products that were good, especially for the moisturization. Do you have anything also for damaged hair?
Yes, I have an argan shampoo and conditioner that is for dry, damaged hair.
Okay.
And it's argan. It's called the argan shampoo and conditioner for dry and damaged hair. And it smells so yummy.
Okay. And what are your hours and what is your location?
Okay, so I'm at 7150 Germantown Avenue in Philadelphia. It is the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia, and I work by appointment only. Due to COVID right now, and some people don't know, but now they know, I was in a car accident when it snowed. So I'm really limited on my hours right now. I've been kind of like taking it kind of easy, but I'm getting my strength back. Alhamdulillah, I'm okay.
Alhamdulillah.
And my children weren't in the car with me, but I've been taking a little break. So I do work by appointments only. Like I said, just give me a call or send me a text message. Texting is better because I can see, because I don't like to talk on the phone while I'm servicing clients. So, you know, anyone can feel free to text me at any time for an appointment.
Okay, and I have someone on the on hold who has a question, okay? Hold on.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Wa alaikum assalam, sorry, too. I wanted to first thank you all for the service that you all guys are providing to the sister. This is awesome. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. And for this sister, Natasha, I wanted to ask, what is your recommendation for married sisters? Like, what should we be doing with the constant ghusl and things like that?
Great question. Okay, so when you get this recovered hair bundle, I do have a large, wide detangling comb. And I like to encourage the sisters to take that comb into the shower and take that clear protective serum. And while you are in the shower, after you make ghusl, put that clear serum, comb your hair, and possibly put it in like not two cornrow braids, but two like Pocahontas, if you can kind of imagine what I'm talking about. Don't just grab your hair and leave it in a ponytail, because if you have to make ghusl again, it's going to get tangled and tangled and tangled, and you never combed it, and now you have a mess. So comb your hair and use that protective serum. I always say I should have named it after ghusl, because that is the bomb. That is great. That is great for your hair. But that's what you have to do. So, you know, you have to get that large detangling comb, keep it in the shower, and you have to comb your hair after you make ghusl. You can't just put on you have to take that 3 seconds, 3 minutes. You have to comb your hair, or else it's not going to work. And I know some ladies have long hair, and I get it, but you have to comb it. Other than that, you're going to have tangles. And also the cream that I said is a great moisturizer is a leave-in as well.
Okay.
It's a leave-in conditioner.
Alhamdulillah.
It looks like her call dropped. But that was great. Thank you so much, Natasha, for joining us. We are going to definitely recap everything you said and put it on our website. May Allah and make you better if there was any injuries caused by your accident. And we will definitely to come get out here, Dave.
Okay. Shukran for having me. Just have a moment. Feel free to DM me or call me anytime, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All right, ladies, we're going to go on a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
If you love them enough to barely sleep, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, so we're back. You're listening to the Muslim Sister Circle Talk Radio Show. We had our guest today was Natasha Somali from Philadelphia. She said that you're able to text her. Now, a lot of people don't give out their number. So, sisters, if you're interested in getting your hair done or learning more about hair care, you can text her at 215-264-1100. Also, you can find out more about her products on her website, www.NatashaSomaliaShop.com. That's NatashaSomaliaShop.com. And she also has a book called Hair Care Under the Hijab. Now, she's located in Philly. I don't know if any sisters mind traveling to her. Black owned business. She's Muslim. She has a hair salon. It's private. She's located at 7150 Germantown Avenue. And she said it's in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. But text her. She's on Instagram, Natasha Somali. She's on Instagram. You can always find her information on there. DM her, she said, if you have any questions. Ladies, do you have any additional information you want to give or any feedback?
Well, I just want to say thank you so much. I had obtained a lot of information. And Sister Nisa and Sister Hasana, thank you so much for having me.
So
it was such an honor being here.
Thank you for being my co-host for today.
Yeah, thank you.
Nina will be back next week. Inshallah, she's not feeling well. We ask Allah to heal her.
I mean.
And give her patience.
Allah. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for calling in. And thank you so much for Sister Somalia. Thank you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you with Jannah Firdaus for all that information. I truly hope the listeners have benefited and perhaps be on a new journey with better hair, better health.
Yes.
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 Yes, because she's a health coach. So you can definitely ask any questions regarding what you're putting in your body. To help, your hair to grow more, your skin, nails, everything. I mean, eating is so important.
Maybe your next show should be about what we eat. What we eat.
Yeah,
yes, I can't wait for that show. I cannot wait.
Yeah. Nutrition is going to be the topic.
Of course.
It's so important. You know, I'm so glad that now there's so much more focus on eating right, because that's the only way, you know, for longevity is this.
You are
important.
What you eat.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's so true. Okay, so next week, inshallah, we're still working out the details of what we're going to be talking about next week, but it is going to be the first week of February is going to be Muslim Hijab Day. Is that what it is?
National Hijab Day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's National Hijab Day. So, and also the month of March will be highlighting different Muslim women, entrepreneurs, and business women, women in medicine, and things like that. But we're still working on the details of what our next show is going to be. So we will be listing that information on our Facebook page, the Muslim Sisters Circle Talk Radio Show on Facebook. So you can go on there to find out any information and also to stay tuned and when the new shows will be coming up. Thank you so much, ladies.
We will keep you in suspense.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal 'asr. Innal إنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر